right. Well, welcome everyone. We might get started. So Samine Sonatfar is going to be doing her presentation for us today. So Samine is from Monash University. I'm really excited about this presentation because I have seen in, you know, in real life in a number of different organisations that I work in, just the importance of having the customer voice in what you do and how small tweaks and small changes in what you do can actually really drive really different outcomes and, you know, make everybody just far happier, you know, in engaging in the whole scheme. So I think it's a really exciting piece. You are midstream in your research, which means we've got an intimate group here, so, like, feel free to have your wish list of ideas of where you think the research would really benefit from going. So, you know, feel free to think about that as you watch the presentation today. Over to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the lovely introduction, and thank you, everyone, for coming. I know it's a bit late on the second day, so thank you for hanging in there. Okay, no, that worked. Okay. The talk today is called Reimagining Workers' Compensation Through Participatory Computational Modeling with Injured Workers, and we just call it Workers' Voice. It's a program of research led by Professor Alex Colley at Monash University, and I'm part of his group, the Healthy Working Life Research Group. So thank you all. Before I begin, I'd just like to acknowledge that Monash University is built on unceded lands of the people of the Kulin Nations, and we are gathering today on the lands of the Turrbal and Yagara people. And I'd just like to pay my respects to elders past and present. This is a brief overview of what I'm going to speak to you today, just a brief introduction to our team and introduction of this program of research, what we've done so far and where we're headed. On the left side of the screen, you see the academics involved in this program of research, as I said, led by Professor Alex Colley out of Monash University. But we have a very interdisciplinary academic group. We have health economics, simulation and modeling researchers. We have co-design experts and just a really broad facet of academic disciplines, which is a little bit unusual and quite a strength. But maybe even more importantly, we have a group of lived experience advisors who really consist of injured workers, their support persons, and also injured workers' advocacy groups. And they really guide our research every step of the way, and they also give input on how we communicate our research to make sure our outputs are understood by injured workers. Just as a general information, this program of research is funded by the Australian Research Council under a Discovery Scheme grant, and the original title is Harnessing the Lived Experience in Injured Workers to Redesign Workers' Compensation Systems, a Participatory Computational Modeling Study. So you understand why we don't use this name and just call it short Workers' Voice to sort of capture the essence of this big chunk of word salad there. The project has two general aims. One is to design a workers' compensation system that is based on the lived experience of people who have made a claim, so who have lived experience of workers' compensation and work-related injuries and health conditions, and also to create a vision for a kinder, fairer, and better workers' compensation system in Australia. So this is more of an aspirational goal, just there. And why was this research funded? So our research group made a pretty good case, and we have heard this across these 2 days at this conference as well, that the compensation system can be confusing for workers who interact with those systems, system, and it can also be quite stressful having to go through the operational tasks, the administration, and to really just understand what is going on. And this can negatively impact health, well-being, and also return to work outcomes. Traditionally, workers did not have a strong voice so far in making suggestions for reform to the workers' compensation system. And we just know from other health systems around the world, if health users are involved, this can lead to better outcomes. So the research group asked for a chance to try this with the workers' compensation system in Australia as well to see whether we can anticipate better outcomes from a worker-led reform, so to speak. The approach, how we do this, is really important for this project. So we try to listen to workers who have made a claim, learn about their challenges and the solutions they would like to see. And from our knowledge and from their input and from expert input, we create a computational model of the current system. And we test the solutions that workers identify to then anticipate system outcomes. And we communicate those findings, as I said, in a way that is hopefully understood by everybody. This is a infographic style timeline of the main tasks of our project, the main components, and I hope that by the end of this presentation it will be clear what any of this means. I start with the work that we have already completed. So in the 2024 bracket, so to speak, we ran a big survey with injured workers and their support persons. We also asked some of them to sit down for one-on-one interviews to give us more insights about their experiences and their solution suggestions. And I'm going to start off with what we learned from these big surveys and interviews and consultations. So the first part is to talk about the negative experiences and stresses during a workers' compensation system. So what workers have raised was impactful for them, and then ask them, of course, about the solutions based on their experiences, what solutions they would suggest. And I'm mainly going to talk about the main survey. This was a big survey of 533 injured workers, of which 20 also sat down for an in-depth interview. And I'm just giving you a very high-level description of their demographics. So these workers were generally in their 40s and 50s. More women agreed to participate, which is kind of typical for voluntary research. Women just are more likely to raise their hands and take part, so this is not very untypical. Most of the conditions that were made claims for, sorry, that was weirdly worded, but there were more mental health-related claims. And then musculoskeletal conditions and injuries, some diseases, maybe infectious diseases and exposure to chemicals, but those workers were in the minority in this sample. First, we asked them about their overall experience of the workers' compensation system. And the way we did this was to present them with a specific question. And the question is, which of these patterns best describes your overall experience with your workers' compensation claim? And we asked them to make a selection out of six. So they could only choose one out of these six options. The first option was everything was kind of neutral, nothing really particularly good or bad was happening. Everything was kind of mid, as the young people would say, I think. And then the second option was like, it was kind of chaotic. It went all over the place. There were calm moments, but also good and bad experience, and it kind of always changed. The third option was that it started well, but then over time, the experience deteriorated and the experience with the compensation system ended up in a bad place when it started in a good place. And then the other way around, it started badly, but it became a good experience in the end. And then the last two is positive from beginning to end or negative from beginning to end. And I let you guess what participants sort of favored out of these six experiences. If you just want to have a guess, you can have a silent guess. You don't need to say anything, but what do you reckon? Two and four. And three, yes. So two and three are common, but the most common answer was actually number six. So half of the survey participants, so this is not a national representative sample, but those who raised their hand to participate in this project, half of them said they actually had a negative experience from beginning to end. And then your other guesses were correct. So many felt it was kind of all over the place. And then also 17% of respondents said it started in a good place. My claim was accepted, but then I didn't recover fast enough. And then that's where the problems came about. And then the rest just makes up 11% of the answers. So including the very good option there. So then we didn't leave it at that. We had a whole list of 28 compensation claim related process factors and stakeholders who might be involved in the workers' compensation process. And so we asked workers, did this person or this part of the system or process have a positive impact, a negative impact, or no impact at all? And we generally found that family, so we asked about family and friends even, they were seen as positive, and also contacts with doctors and surgeons, often GPs, were also generally positive, as well as getting one's medical certificate was sort of seen as a positive milestone in the compensation journey. And what was seen more generally as having a negative impact were contacts with insurers, with employers, income change, which usually meant like a step down in wage replacement, and waiting for claim approval. So to drill down a little bit deeper into this finding, we were actually interested which of these factors, positive or negative or neutral, are actually more influential when it comes to choosing the six options where everything was seen as negative from beginning to end. So are there any of these compensation claim processes, stakeholders that are sort of more associated with choosing this this option of it being a negative experience? And what we found was that there were these answers when workers said, oh, I'm having a negative impact through talking to my claims manager. I'm having a negative impact with my employer. They're not helping me or something like this. Or when they indicated that waiting for claim approval was long and had a negative impact, that these were the most influential components of somebody choosing having this negative experience all the way through. And to put it into a bit more concrete words, is that if a worker said that they had negative contact with their insurer, they were 5 times more likely to choose this negative experience pattern. When they had negative contacts with their employer, they were 3 times more likely to choose this pattern. And if they said they waited a long time for their claim to be accepted, then they were 4 times more likely to say it was all the way negative. And maybe also something to point out was that all of the positive experiences, they didn't make a difference. So if people had a supportive GP, they had other positive influences, it didn't really move the needle as long as these negative contributing factors were present. Then we asked, okay, given your experience, what would have made a positive impact? What would you like to see improve for other injured workers? And based on the answers and consultations with our lived experience advisors, we identified 7 areas of solutions. They were improving the collection and use of medical information, building trust by being fair, transparent, and supportive, helping injured workers navigate the system, reducing financial burdens, and developing a mental health claims model of care, as well as providing supportive and alternative pathways for scheme exit, so when a claim comes to an end, and strengthening the regulation of insurers, employers, and service providers. And we split down the solution areas a little bit more in greater detail, which for time reasons I'm not going to get into too much, but we did release a brochure for each solution area on our website. So if you're interested, you're obviously most welcome to have a look. That's going to be presented there in greater detail. We picked 3 of these solution areas to conduct workshops with a smaller group of injured workers because even our more detailed version was still a little bit too general to really know what to change about the compensation system. So we ran workshops with injured workers to really get into the mechanism. What should change? How should it change? What do you expect to happen? And we chose the medical information, the communication with claims managers, and also the financial impact areas. And then we had a whole list of concrete solutions, but we didn't know which ones to implement. We also ran surveys again with asking all workers to then rate those solutions. So we are picking the most popular ones to put into our computational models. And so to realize the computational side of things, we had to build a simulated model of the workers' compensation system, and we call it the current state model. Which we are also running a validation survey at the moment to identify or to confirm that all of the pathways are correct. And once we have finalized this computational model, we will then integrate the changes into this base model and then observe the outcomes, which I'm going to talk about next. So this is what I just said, basically, running the workshops, the surveys to then model properly. And I'm just going to explain what our current model entails. So the workers' compensation system, as you know much better than me, has 11 different schemes, and it was way too much to model 11 schemes, so that was impossible. So what we chose to do was to pick the main components out of all of the 11 schemes to have one hypothetical system that would reasonably predict all of the schemes. So it's kind of like Lord of the Rings, like one to rule them all. If you want to think about it like this, it hopefully makes sense. So we're actually not modeling any one scheme in particular. We model one system that reasonably represents all schemes. So that's the goal. And for this to happen, we actually have to use two models. So two models for this one overall system. And one is the system dynamics model. This one represents all of the pathways. So groups of people who make claims for musculoskeletal disorders, for mental health conditions, and so on. They are sort of groups of injured workers, and we track how they move through the workers' compensation system. You could think of this as sort of like a big path diagram. And then we have the agent-based model. And the agent-based model really specializes in capturing relationships between different agents. And the agents we model in the workers' compensation system are the injured workers, the case managers, the doctors, and also the employers. And so you can see in the above, like the upper picture, sorry, this is sort of how the system dynamics model is created, and the picture below is sort of how you would start in an agent-based model where you have different agents. They have different features, and they also have different personalities. So some are agreeable, some are hostile, some are tit for tat. If you're good to me, I'm good to you, this kind of thing is sort of borrowed from game theory, but they also have very different features. Sort of they have capacity. The claims manager has a capacity. The claims manager is either new to the system or they've been working in this field for a long time, and so on. So this is all modeled in the system. And we are also validating each of these steps, specifically the system dynamics model. We use hard and soft data for this. So hard data would be, for example, data that is released on the Safe Work Australia website to say, you know, this is how many claims are being done, this is how long this takes, and so on. And then soft data is speaking to experts such as yourself, and really trying to find out, okay, we don't have actual data for these connections, for these aspects, what would you think is the most accurate representation? And then we model it based on that. And then we run tests and we see whether the outcomes are close to outcomes that we have seen in the real world. And so this is one of the latest drafts of our system dynamics model, and that's sort of the top pathway. So the main one, you see you have a lodgement of a claim, you have eligibility determination, all the way like early claim handling, mid, long-term claim handling and scheme exit. And beneath that, there are all of the dispute pathways, the return to work pathways, and so on. So it's maybe a visual representation of the complexity that are involved with the workers' compensation system. And then we have an example here for the agent-based model. You can see, so the green, you have workers there, you have claims managers, doctors, employers, and IMEs. So we actually distinguish between doctors and independent medical examiners, because for workers, they're very different. So we have separate agents for those. And then the coloring determines whether they're agreeable, tit for tat, or hostile. This example is a little bit hostile. It has a lot of red. But it changes. So we manipulate that. We manipulate all of the features. And the yellow boxes there, this is basically these are the outcomes that we track. And because you can't read them very well, I just put them on the next slide. So we do track claims factors, processing time, approval rates, and so on. We also track service requests, so the number of medical service requests or income support and so on. And we also model worker factors. So what is their work capacity? What is their mental health, their satisfaction with the scheme? And yeah, just to summarize, so we will then be using this current state model to then start implementing the changes from our workshops and rating surveys, what is the most popular solution, and then we start putting those changes into the base model. And we will be tracking over time what are the liability determinations, so what are the costs of the scheme, not just immediately, but also over time. What are the health and return to work outcomes for workers? So you could see this as a worker outcome, but also scheme performance indicators. Does the scheme perform maybe better than the current state or worse given those changes? And also we'll be tracking satisfaction with the system. So how do workers will actually end up liking those changes that they propose. So yeah, there's lots of room for surprises, but we try to capture as much as we can. And if you'd like to be involved as an expert of the compensation system, we are currently running a study. And it's an online survey, and we kind of cut out chunks of the system dynamics model. And we say, this is, you know, we have one version, that's our version, that's in the system dynamics model, plus two that we made up that we believe are wrong. And then we let the experts identify the solution they say is the right one or the right pathway. And we will use that as a confirmation. Yes, we put in the right pathway in this diagram there in our system dynamics model. So that's the goal. It's a little bit dry, I must tell you. But if you're interested in compensation systems and how they work, it might be interesting for you. Just saying. Yeah, and this is it. Any questions? I'm happy to take questions. I hope I can answer them. And if you'd like to be in touch, we have lots of, you know, contact options. And yeah, I'd be happy to.
Why are doctors called hostile doctors? Why are insurer doctors called labeled hostile?
They're not. So each of the agents, whether they're independent medical examiners or GPs, they all have different styles. So each category of agent, if you say, each has hostile, agreeable, and tit-for-tat persons in it. And what we are changing is sort of, we can manipulate to say we have more hostile IMEs in this version or something like this. But there's no sort of determination to say this type of doctor is more hostile than the other. So we will manipulate through the whole.
So the study looks at the same proportion of whether they're hostile or not hostile.
Yeah, so this is sort of being changed. And this is also part of the validation. So which of the styles then is a better predictor for what is actually happening.
And when you look at that, do you look at the... Is it the personality of the agents, or is it the role they play in the scheme?
It's more of the... Yeah, it's the interactive style. So in game theory, it's sort of you make one move that's agreeable to me. So I will respond with another agreeable move. That would be the tit for tat option. It's just sort of giving characteristics and behaviors to these agents.
Yeah. What was the basis of using game theory? Sorry, I asked 20 questions now.
No.
I
think that's just the way that the agent-based models are being set up. So they, the agents, they get characteristics under which they operate, and otherwise the system doesn't know how the agents interact. So this is sort of the typical way of doing it, to have them interact in different ways. And these are sort of the three different interaction styles. It's just that that's more of a generic thing that is not specific to the workers' compensation. It's something that's more generally applied to agent-based models to determine how the actors or the agents interact with each other. That's more of a baseline thing. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. No, thanks. I love these models. They're so much fun to play with. Is part of the research plan to not just change the settings in the model but optimize the model to bring the best outcomes and then read what the settings are that get the best outcomes and then compare that to what the injured workers were saying in terms of improve this? Well, maybe what they're saying gets you halfway there.
Yes, so it has these components to it. So one is we want to model a system that's really that represents the current state well, and then we'd like to integrate the most popular changes. And it's a little bit of a check too, whether it actually helps with improving outcomes. And the benefit of this is that it's sort of virtual. No people are impacted. We are interested to see whether from this model perspective, outcomes are actually improving. And it could be that maybe a change is not as popular, but we model this and it actually has better sustainability, better financial viability. And then we can say, well, while this is not as popular, it's something that will increase satisfaction somewhat, but it's also more financially viable. So maybe we should go with this one. So that's the goal, to sort of compare which one is the best option given all the other factors. Thank you.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. When you describe how, because you couldn't model all the different schemes, so there's sort of one idealised or amalgam scheme, does that include common law as one of the factors? Because, I mean, I know we're aware, say, in the Victorian scheme, and it also goes for the Victorian motor bodily injury scheme, that where you have those sort of there has to be a switch from being in the statutory benefits and sort of helping people to then suddenly being sort of adversarial on the common law side. So is that something that's in that pathway?
Yes, so we do have a separate dispute pathway, and we also model how it works a little bit differently. So we will set up different base models, which are a little like they take into account different status quo, different states that the system is in. So one of the base model will then be more like the Victorian model and so on. So we do try to account for these, but there are some limits as to how specific we can set up those base models. But the idea is to have an example that is really financially viable but maybe has other disadvantages and put in changes there, and one that has really good return to work outcomes, but it's more expensive, and try the worker implemented solutions there and see what happens. So we also adjust a little bit what the current state is, and that might be modeled out of, you know, different aspects of the system or different schemes. Yeah.
In the pathway diagram you had, are there any indications that there are particular points of that pathway or branches along that pathway which are a lot worse than others or perhaps a lot better than others?
Well, I would say with the mental health pathway, you consistently see sort of less people going through, sort of reaching the later stages of the compensation system, just because, you know, the eligibility is just different from a musculoskeletal disorder and so on. So people actually don't get through as much. So you already see those differences based on conditions, for example. Yeah, that's one that comes to mind for sure. Like you do see differences already and sort of blocks. And then we need to also distinguish sometimes because we're still sort of developing it, there are still some bugs. So a lot of the time the claims manager capacities, they just max out way too quickly. And then it sort of stops and it creates these flat lines because the claims managers won't take new cases because they're sort of maxed out. And then it's a little bit of an art to remedy this. And yeah, so in practical terms, we also have to distinguish what is where the simulated model makes mistakes versus where there are actual maybe bottlenecks. But we have seen some of these bottlenecks in that we believe are real, good representations.
Can I ask one more quick one if there, no one else wants to? Okay. So just the other one. When you had the interaction with the employers and that was seen as sort of a negative overall, is that to the extent of the employers potentially facilitating return to work, or are there other aspects of that employer?
Yeah, so this varies a lot in reality. So we didn't ask in the survey at what point in time were there negative relations with the employer. In general, it's mostly a mixture of there have been workplace problems and they sort of manifested and maybe gotten worse with the claim experience. And sometimes it's a disappointment that the employer wouldn't make any types of modifications, even though the worker would deem it reasonable. And so they thought they got frustrated because the employer created an obstacle where the worker thought they didn't need be one. It was a combination of factors, but they were all sort of summarized as negative impact. But this is what we typically hear. Workers also feel left alone a lot of the time. So when they're on sick leave and no one calls to check in how they are, that's already that can create a bit of frustration and feeling like they're not important and so on. Yeah.
Great, thank you.
And I just have one very last question for you, which is whether, because it seems like there's a huge wealth of information in your in the ideas that came out of the worker survey, so both about the challenges as well as some ideas for solutions. Has that information been sort of, is it available somewhere? Will you be publishing that?
These solution areas, they are currently on our website.
Fantastic.
And each of the areas has sort of its own brochure in PDF. They're quite brief, but we are also currently writing on, let's say, more proper manuscripts that summarize the solutions and conduct really thematic analysis and go through this rigorous process. And we are looking to publish those hopefully next year.
Yeah. Excellent. That's really helpful and hopefully a good place to land. If you've got any questions or ideas for Samine, please feel free to reach out to her. But for now, let's thank her in the usual way.